Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Amen. On a Saturday night.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad for the two of us that said amen, but
amen.
I said it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to turn to two separate books in the Bible tonight. You can go ahead and just pick one, and whichever one you go to, eventually we'll hit there. Amen. We're going to turn to Matthew 8. In verse number 28, and we're going to be at Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. It's Matthew 8 and verse 28, or Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Amen. Maybe have sword drills just like I did when I was a teenager or a young kid, and we'd have to hurry up and figure out who can turn there the quickest. Amen. Make you memorize where your books of the Bible are. Amen. Amen. Give honor to your pastor. Amen. We just love him and his wife. Amen. She's just cooked for us and loved on us. And amen. Amen. He kind of did like what I did and married out of his league. Amen. And we're just so thankful for his wife and amen, and him, and all the ministry that's in the house, and you good people, thank you for your words of encouragement, thank you for praying for my wife, amen, thank you for every meal, every handshake, every words of love. We love this church, and once again, just feel such a burden for this church, and we love you good people. Amen. Give honor to my wife. Thankful that she's here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thankful for the Lord and his hand of protection over her. Amen. I love my wife.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Obtain favor with the Lord. Well, the Lord shined on me and he gave me a great thing. Amen. Amen. He blessed me above.
Yeah, glory.
Let's just have church tonight. Amen. Matthew 8 and verse number 28, it says, and when he was coming to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Amen. It says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Why don't you say that with me? That's real easy. Let's say it together. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Let's try it one more time. Let's do everybody this time. Would you say it with me? Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I want to take some time and I want to preach to us just on that subject. He is still the same. He is still the same. Amen. Would you sit down in your Bibles tonight? Would you raise your hands? Would you lift your voice? And I wonder, would you just help, would you help me pray right now for strength in my body? Would you help me pray for yourself, for your ears? Come on, would you help me pray that there be faith in this house tonight? Lord, we bless your holy name. God, you're good, and your mercy endures forever. God, let there be faith stirred in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. One of the truths that we understand as Oneness Pentecostals, one thing that we believe and we know is true is that there is one God. We believe that that God manifested himself in flesh and he came and He gave us a name, and that name is Jesus. We believe that that God, He came and He died on a cross for you and for me. We believe that that God came and He knew no sin. He was tempted in every way that we can be tempted, but yet He never failed. He was perfect in all of His ways. And He would carry our sins, your dysfunction, your lying, whatever your sin was. He carried that to the cross, so that way we can never be separate from Him again. He gave us a way to have direct access to Him, to His throne room, when He ripped the veil. And not only did He do this, but then He came and He died on that cross, and He raised up 3 days later. And He came to His disciples, and He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And He said, I'm going to send a comforter that's going to come to you.
Yeah.
He tells them, you go ahead and just go and wait in Jerusalem. And I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And then later on, He tells them, He said, I'm going to come and comfort you. We know that there's only one God. We know that there's not three gods. There's not three thrones up in heaven. But there's only one throne, and there's only one God that's going to sit on that throne. And when it's all said and done, we're going to be like God, and we're going to make it to heaven. And if we ask Him, and if we ask Him the question, just like the disciples asked Him, Jesus, we've seen You, but where's the Father? His words are forever, and He's going to say, once you see Me, baby, you've seen the Father. He's going to say, I am the Lord. And there's only He's going to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord. We know that there's only one God, and we know that He never changes. No matter if it's back during the times of Abraham or Adam, we know that He never changes. Whether we can go through and talk about David or Moses, we know that it's the same God. Or if we go through and we flip into Matthew or Luke or John, we can read. Or if we read in Acts, or if we read in Revelation, we can know that there's only one God, and that He's the same yesterday, and He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. I said, if He was a healer yesterday, He's a healer today. If He was a way maker back for somebody back in the Bible times, He's a way maker for us tonight. It's Jesus Christ the same. One thing we have to understand is the devil hates time. He hates time because he knows that eventually his time is going to end. And he will be cast into the lake of fire. And he will be in there forever. And forever he will be in torment. And so because of this, the devil hates time. There's a story of a Satanist that he wanted to talk to Pastor, I believe it was Billy Cole. Billy Cole was a revivalist. He was somebody, you can even go on YouTube or search online for his messages today. But he started some of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Ghost in different countries and crusades. And he was a man of God. And he begins to tell a story of how a Satanist wanted to go into his office, but before he would walk in there, he would told him, I need you to turn all of your clocks around and hide them. And when he comes into his office, Billy Cole asked him, he said, why? Why would you want me to turn my clocks around? Why? And he began to tell him, he said, the devil hates clocks. He hates time because he knows that it's going to end bad for him. He knows that time is his enemy. He knows that one day, sooner or later, his time will end. The devil hates time. That's the reason in the scripture we read tonight that when he comes and he begins to run to Jesus out of these men, and they begin to speak to this man, and he said, "Did you come to torment us even before it's the right time? It's not time. Please don't torment us yet." He hates time because he knows that his time's running out. We understand that the fact that the devil is a master of psychological warfare. Now you have to understand me tonight. I don't buy into modern day Christianity that says it's one way or another. One day the devil's winning, the next day God's winning. I don't believe that. That's hogwash. We know that he has all power under heaven. Man, our first lady, her name was Sister Woods, and she would always put on a little show, and that show was called Veggie Tales. Amen. And you can call me carnal if you want to, but some of us, I guarantee 90% of us have seen Veggie Tales. Amen. And she put on Veggie Tales, and they had this old song, and it would sing, "God is bigger than the Boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV." And every time we'd get sick, Sister Woods would come in and she'd sing that song. "God is bigger than the Boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the Boogeyman. And he's watching out for you and me." And you know what she'd say, "Sebastian, do you have the Holy Ghost?" And I'd say, "Oh yes, Sister Woods, I have the Holy Ghost." And she'd say, "Sebastian, I want you to understand something. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have more power in your pinky toe than all the devil has in all of hell." I want to remind somebody here tonight, if you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to walk around sad and defeated, because if you have the Holy Ghost, you have more power than all of hell has. You have, if you have the mention of the name, you can call out him, and he'll come to your rescue. But this one thing we have to understand is the devil has been doing this for a long time. And he is a master of psychological warfare. And if I, Lord willing, if the Holy Ghost will let me, maybe sometime I'll preach on some of his strategies. But tonight, we have to understand that he wants to come in and he wants to mess with your mind. Just last night, me and a dear sister, she began to talk about how the devil will come in and he'll leave you with little bad thoughts. And she said, "God doesn't want you to live like that." And I said, "Sister, you're about to preach to me right now." Amen. But one of the greatest things that it uses in psychological warfare is to convince us that the past was the greatest things we have ever seen.
All right.
This is called rosy retrospection. And I understand that it's even creeped into normal conversations. And if you talk to somebody who grew up in a different time frame, they will always reference the good old days. And that might be true in the natural. Things might have been better back in the old days in the natural. In the natural eye, things might have been better before COVID. Things might have been better before it feels like your ministry failed, before it feels like your business started hitting rock bottom. Things might have seemed better before you ever got sick. It might have seemed like you had more freedoms in the natural. It might feel like you enjoyed life a little bit better back in the day, back in the natural. But this idea has found itself slipping even into the church. And this idea will come in and it will convince us that the past is the greatest that we have ever seen. That there is never, ever, ever going to be the old time revivals that we preached about, that we sang about, that we have stories about. I want to preach to this church tonight that the devil has told this church that the greatest years you have ever seen were years ago. I come to talk to somebody here tonight and let you know that the devil is a liar. He wants to come
Christian, a pure God. I come to preach to somebody here tonight and let you know that the greatest days are not behind us, but it's time right now for the church and the living God. It's time for somebody here tonight to shake your dust off and wake up and realize it's time to seize the moment. It's not the devil's time. It's not hell's time. It's time for the church to arrive. I said it's time for the saints of God to watch and wipe your tears and wake up and realize there's greater ahead of us. There's glory back in front of us. There's strength. God sent a young preacher here tonight to rip that mindset out of our spirits here today. He wants to come in and he wants to introduce us to a season where every single service somebody's receiving the Holy Ghost for the very first time. I want to tell you that God wants to introduce us to a season where every time we get together, there's somebody being baptized in Jesus' name. He wants to take us to a place where every single time we come into the church, it doesn't matter if it's on a Tuesday night prayer, it doesn't matter if it's on a Sunday or a Wednesday, he wants to take us to a place where every time we step in the building, there's healings taking place, there's cancer falling off bodies, diabetes running out the door. I want to tell you, we serve a God who said he's the same yesterday, he's the same today.
Lord,
this has come in and it's creeped in and it's saying that things were better back before and that nobody now these days wants revival and nobody now this society doesn't want anything to do with God and this society wants nothing to do with the church. I want to tell you, that's a lie from a pit of hell.
Amen.
Listen, you don't got to help me tonight. I came with a word from the Holy Ghost. I want to tell somebody here tonight, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's the devil that's dropped that lie in your mind. I want you to know the devil's a liar. There's churches all around America. There's good apostolic Pentecostal churches that they are experiencing 300 soul revivals in a couple of months. They're experiencing miracle signs. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that he is nothing. He doesn't say no one place of one way or the other. If it can happen there, it can happen in Dundee. If it can happen there, if it can happen in Memphis, it can happen in Dundee. If it can happen in Little Rock, it can happen in Dundee. If it can happen in Spock, it can happen here. That's a lie. It's a lie from hell to believe that young people don't want holiness anymore. It's a lie. But listen, don't you allow it to creep in your mind. Oh Lord, you got to help. You got to hear me tonight. I'm trying to help this church tonight. I'm trying to help. Listen, it's a lie to say that this city doesn't want revival. It's a lie to say that this is a burnt over field and that God doesn't want to do anything with us anymore. Get that out of your spirit here tonight, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. I want to tell you that there is, there's something stirring in this world. There's something stirring. It's stirring in people's hearts. It's stirring. They're searching for something. They're searching.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it might be a different ballpark. Me and my wife, we drove up to Winter Garden today, and we got to listen to a conference in California talking about the Gen Z generation and reaching Gen Z. And the whole time we drove up there, we listened to them. And they began to talk about how it's a different world. And I understand that. I understand that nowadays
That maybe back then we had to unsave people to save them. But you got to understand something about this new generation. This is the first generation ever to be born into and to have a culture of they don't even believe they're in a God. That they don't even believe that there is a God. They're so confused that they don't know whether Jesus is God or Buddha is God or there's a higher power. It's so much easier to persuade them of the oneness of God. It's so much easier to persuade them of Jesus' name baptism because they're hungry. And I believe it's 97% of young people believe that there is a God, but they just don't belong to a certain religion. That means they believe there is a God, but they don't know who God is. But I'm trying to tell you here tonight that even though they're searching for something and they don't know what it is, we know what it is tonight. We know who He is. We know it's not a Jesus. We know it's not just another man, sir. He came from, and they prayed 250 people through in just 6 months. And I want to tell you something, it wasn't Dundee, it wasn't Winter Haven, it was the middle of nowhere. It was in a town of a population of 300, and they had people driving 2.5 hours to come to church.
Amen.
I heard a preacher today, Brother Will Banks, he's from California. He's from Alabama, I believe. And he began to tell a story about how his grandfather, who was the first one to ever receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in his family, about how his he worked in fields and how he was starting a church in Arkansas in the Pinto area. And he began to tell a story about how there was nothing but Mexican immigrants that were there, and that they couldn't, nobody at that time in that area spoke Spanish. And can I just stop here and can I say something? The church isn't a white church.
No.
I said the church isn't a white church. You're not going to go to heaven and see a white only group. The church isn't a black church. It's not just meant for black people or white people. You know what? It's meant for Hispanics. It's meant for Asian people. It's meant for white people. Listen, I'm coming to tell you here tonight that there's only one color, and if you want to get to heaven, you know that color is. It's the color of the blood. There's people that want to come in this church and they're not going to be the same color as you. They're not going to dress like you. They're not going to act like you. They're not going to speak like you. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to get over it, because the heaven isn't about all people that look like you. It's for everybody. He said he was his grandfather, his great grandfather. He was a Methodist man. He got the revelation of oneness of God, Jesus' name baptism. The people in his church didn't like it, and so what they would do is they'd come and beat on him. And so because of this, it forced him to leave town, and he ended up a crop sharer in Arkansas, I believe it was. And he began to tell a story about how he got up and he just began to preach. All Hispanics, only a couple of his own saints, and he just began to preach. And they had no clue what he was saying. But they were just captivated because of the power of the Holy Ghost that was in that room. He was just preaching. He was preaching. And they were just, he had all of their attention. And back then he calls altar call, and none of them move because they don't know what he said. But all of a sudden, an elderly saint of God shot up, and she began to speak in other tongues. And as she began to speak in other tongues, she was speaking in Spanish. And what began to happen? All of those men, and they could understand in English. They began to fret at those altars, and he began to go down and lay hands on them, and they all began to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Were you getting that, Little Tapia? I tell you what I'm getting at.
Amen.
Because I'm trying to convince this church. I know, oh God, you got to hear me tonight. I know, thank God for a pastor that built this place. Thank God for a pastor. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, there's going to be people that come through these doors, and they're going to be drinking from wells they didn't have to dig, and they're not going to know the heartache that pastor had to go through. And thank God for that. Thank God for the people he's seen pray through. Thank God for the hundreds and the thousands that he's baptized in Jesus' name. But I want you to know, there's a legacy to be carried on. There's something greater for this church. The church isn't meant to die, but there's more. And we're going to see greater revival. We're going to see more people. Thank God. We're going to see more.
of your box. Why don't you need God outside of how you always love?
Hallelujah.
Come on. Let's pray right now. Come on, let's pray with the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. Brother, when we get to this part, if you could shut it off and cut it out for me.